EMSradio.com.
EMS information for the next generation.
The EMS Garage is a production of EMSradio.com. You can find us on Facebook, just search EMS Garage. You can find us on Twitter at EMS Garage. Email us, emsgarage@gmail.com, or call us, 303-720-6001.
The EMS Garage.
Okay, I got the DC on the phone. They want to know if you can handle that call as well. Just confirming you are checking the patient.
Hello and welcome to the EMS Garage and EMS World podcast. Coming to you from EMS World Expo 2018 from Nashville. Next year, we're going to be in New Orleans again. And I have one of our great guests, Ken Bouvier. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
Pleasure to be here.
Yes.
It's fun to be in the music city.
Oh, man, I love this place. Yeah. Well, you live in a great place for jazz and all kinds of great music. Oh, my gosh.
Changing all the time.
I know. We were just down there recently, and I love New Orleans. So what do you do in New Orleans?
I'm the chief operations at New Orleans EMS.
Nice. And we were just talking that you get to run calls and go do all kinds of fun things all the time.
People are amazed that I tell them that 43 years in EMS, I still run calls. I love helping people who can't help themselves.
Right. Well, that's why we did it, right? We do this because we love. It's a calling, like they talked about this morning. But we do it because we love it. So let's talk a little bit about some of your topics here at EMS World. One is kids that die in hot cars. Is there some research into that? Tell us a little bit about the science behind that too.
So I started talking about it at EMS conferences because it was becoming more and more popular in southern cities, all the way stretching from Florida and Georgia through Alabama, right. Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky.
Wow.
Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, and Texas, and then over into New Mexico. Infants and children being left in cars accidentally. Mm. Most of the time, it's a loving parent, a grandparent,
right,
who accidentally left that kid because they changed their routine.
Instead of,
that was responsible, maybe dropping them off at a daycare, but instead they went on to work like they normally do and left the kid in the car. They don't realize it until a few hours later, even sometime at the end of the day.
Oh, I can't. We have four kids. I can't even imagine that feeling as a parent to go, oh my gosh. You know what's cool, and maybe you talk on it during your talk, but some of the new car manufacturers are coming out with that kind of, where it says, hey, check the back seat.
Right. I have a brand new Chevrolet pickup truck, and it has a warning that tells you to check the back seat. But there's lots of little tricks that you can do. Like if you have a child or a grandchild in the back seat, they tell women who drive the kid to school or to wherever they're going to drop them off to maybe put their purse in the car seat.
That's smart.
And when you got the kid in the car, you know, you got to go in the back to get your purse. Or maybe if there's a teddy bear, put the teddy bear in the car seat. But when you put the kid in the car seat, put the teddy bear on the front seat, which you kind of remind.
Smart.
They also remind you to put your kid's picture on your telephone, or maybe set your alarm where if you normally start work at 8 a.m., set it for about 5 minutes to 8. By that time, you're normally in the parking lot and you'll remember.
Right.
So they got all kind of little things to remind you, but
it's
tragic when we hear stories where someone has left their kid in the car.
And
a few times, too, the parent is impaired either with drugs or alcohol and should have just been living life different, maybe.
Right. Well, and I was just going to say, it's tragic when it's truly an accident, or where the accident is they just forgot. And that to me is probably the worst thing. I think it's harder to have sympathy when somebody's impaired and they are just quite honestly being selfish. And so those type of incidents, how many do you guys respond to a lot in New Orleans?
No, not a lot in New Orleans, but in those southern states, there have been quite a few.
Yeah.
You know, we average anywhere between 30 and 50 hot car deaths a year in the United States.
Wow.
And it's a shame that it happens. And sometimes it happens with just an honest person that made a mistake.
So besides the tricks, from an EMS perspective, what should we be thinking about as we're going on these type of calls?
Well, you know, we tell our employees, you got to be thinking right away. By the time you got the call, when you get there, if that kid's not out, break the window. Let's get that kid out immediately. Don't try extricating. Don't try popping the window in the door like with a Slim Jim and stuff. We need to just break the glass and get that kid out.
Right. Glass is so incidental compared to everything else.
Their temperature increases very, very fast inside the car.
Right.
We need to get them out, get them undressed, get all of the clothing, every bit of clothing off of them, and cool them down, put them in the shade, and try to maybe get ice packs underneath their armpits, behind their knees, behind their neck, in their groin. Try to reduce the temperature.
And it's pretty interesting, too, when you look at, even if it's an 80-degree day, the inside of that car could be in the hundreds easily.
For sure.
I mean, it's all made of glass, and that's all it does is heat up. So moving on from cars and kids in cars, let's talk about kids and playgrounds, because that's kind of cool. And so what are some of the interesting playground injuries you've seen?
Well,
at least.
What made me start talking about these injuries in local ballparks, that's what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, was I actually witnessed a coach getting hit with a line drive baseball and hemorrhaging from the nose.
Oh.
And when EMS got there, EMS asked him, did he want to go to the hospital? And everybody just thought he really needs to go to the hospital. But EMS said, stop. He needs to answer the question for himself. Well, his airway was unprotected at the time. Oh. He's hemorrhaging. He really needed to go to the hospital. So with that, I said, somebody needs to start talking about this. So then I started the research, and I looked at baseball, skateboarding, trampolines, bicycles, basketball, football, and soccer. And the number of kids that are injured in the United States, some seek medical attention in EMS and others don't. But I try to break it down by each sports category. I talk about how the injuries occur and how we should treat those injuries. I don't get into big kids. I don't get into professional football. I'm talking about calls that you get in the local ballpark. And then I also talk about injuries in the grandstand. Like if the park hasn't been well kept up, you may have wasp bites and ant bites and spider bites. And then I talk about the kids that get burned working in the concession stand and the heart attacks of the grandparents that come to watch the game. So I try to talk about all aspects of what could happen in the local ballpark and try to bring awareness to the EMTs and paramedics that the call may be serious, and it probably is real, and they wouldn't be calling for us. And that's what we need to remember in EMS. Number one, we're there about our patients. And I had the opportunity to train under Dr. Norman McSwain in New Orleans. And one thing Norman always said, and I try to instill it in every medic that I touch, is not everybody truly needs our help. And not every day are we going to save a life, but every day we're going to help somebody who can't help themselves.
Right.
And if we just, bottom line, be nice to people and provide care to them as medics like we want to be provided when we call for service, we're going to be a whole lot better profession moving forward.
That's exactly right. So when you looked at the great words, by the way, so when we look at the number of injuries, did you look, is there a common injury in all of those things you said, trampoline, skateboard? So which was the most dangerous? And which actually caused the worst injury? Did you look at any of that type of?
So it's strains and sprains, and it's almost common in all of the sports. And one of the most high risk is soccer. You know,
really?
It's a high endurance sport with a lot of running and kicking of the ball, and there's a lot of pushing and shoving, and it all stems from a poor warm-up. If these little kids would have a warm-up, they probably would have less injury. But, you know, it's quick. They get out the car, they go to the dugout, and the next thing you know, they're on the field. They do very little warm-up or proper warm-ups, and they don't stretch their muscles real good. And the next thing you know, they pull a muscle, or they strain or sprain and break a bone and
right.
stuff like that. Them kids still are not fully developed at that little age. And also the equipment, too. If they're not properly fitted for equipment, if they play in an organized sports where the park has good equipment and good funding, they're probably going to get good equipment.
Right.
If you play in a municipal system or a public system where they just issue stuff out, the football helmet might be way too big for that little kid. Or, you know, I bet you never thought about this, but basketball, little kids play with the same size basketball that the grown men play with. Good What's point. Wrong with that picture?
That's a good, great point.
You would think well, because you
want to, yeah, well, you want to play with the same size ball as the yeah. as the people on TV, which makes a lot of sense. So, as you're looking forward into the next 5 years in our industry, you know, I think we've been here almost 10 years. You know, I've seen this ebb and flow. We've talked about safety, we've talked about mental health in our providers, but as Ken Bouvier, who's been doing this in the mid 40 years now, what do you think is the next thing we got to deal with and accomplish?
I think if we take a look back at the past, my past 43 years, we've had a lot of tragedies throughout the world. The last 15, 20 years, we've seen more and more threat to our communities, from terrorist attacks to mentally disturbed individuals who are creating violence. We know when we take these jobs, it's a very dangerous job. We never thought it would be this dangerous. Mm. We have to think big now, where before we thought things like, it probably won't happen in my community.
Right.
When I used to give the roll call to New Orleans EMS, I would just tell them, do a good job, you know, people are watching, deliver great service. Today when I make those roll call announcements, I have to tell them, if you see something, say something, stay vigilant. We're a soft target for a terrorist attack. To deliver good patient care, advocate for the patient always. People expect a quick response by professional paramedics. We often in this profession say we want more respect. You have to earn respect.
Amen to that.
Medics need to get up and prepare themselves for work, arrive on time, be held accountable for their job. When they go looking for this job, they beg for it. They say they can do all kind of things. It doesn't take long for them to get tired, feel like they're overworked and underpaid. You know that coming into this profession, we're not gonna make as much as a surgeon. We're not gonna make as much as a rocket scientist.
No.
But the greatest reward that I've had over 43 years is when you can deliver patient care to someone and see them walk out of a hospital a few days or a few weeks, even a few months later, knowing that you made a difference, that you delivered a life-saving care, that you learned in class from a competent, compassionate instructor who shared their knowledge with you. And the help of technology and textbooks today that has helped us to be better paramedics and EMTs, first responders. The greatest reward is when you're going to see that person walk out of the hospital, have a second chance at life.
So true.
That's what this is all about. I try to tell all new, young, individual EMS people coming up, it's not about you, it's about the patient. People expect us to play the role, too.
Right.
The way you see me dressed today, you know, you've been knowing me a long time.
Mm-hmm.
This is me.
Yep.
I wear my uniform proudly. Some people in my community, when they see me in plain clothes, they don't think I have plain clothes, but I do. And you don't have to wear it all the time, but when you right. do wear it, be proud of your uniform. And you got to also remember today's technology, there's cameras watching us everywhere. We're in the eyes of the public.
Oh, you got the four right here. But.
Oh, yeah. Well, and people know us. They know I'm not just Ken Bouvier in the community. I'm Ken Bouvier. I'm the paramedic.
Right.
I'm the deputy chief.
Right.
And, you know, I think the future for EMS is going to depend on holding our medics accountable for their actions. And we have to remember that the homeless, the people that are mentally challenged, they're probably some of the sickest patients we ever going to put our hands on.
Right.
Some of them don't mean to be in the position they're in.
Agreed.
They're either addicted to drugs or have a mental problem that hasn't been corrected, and they don't know how to correct it, some of them. Right. And they don't know the resources that's available, and they don't know the route to get that help that they need. And for that reason, I think it's going to, we're going to continue to see that problem. And all we can do is help those people by reaching out, introducing yourself, tell them, I understand it's your worst day of your life, and I'm here to help you. How can I help you?
Oh, Ken, wise words from a wise man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I love talking to you. I could sit and listen to you all day. Thank you for coming on. How can people get a hold of you?
I'm at New Orleans EMS for only a few more months. I'm going to retire.
What? Congratulations.
On March 5th, I'm going on Mardi Gras Day. I've been in EMS for 43 years, and it's time for me to let somebody else do
Congratulations.
It.
Congratulations. Wow, what an
I'm going to stay active in EMS, speaking at conferences and helping to write a little bit. But I'm out there. You can get me on social media. I'm easy to find in New Orleans. And I don't do Facebook because I'm just too busy to do Facebook.
You know, what's funny is not many of us get to retire from EMS.
Yeah.
And thank you.
My pleasure.
It gives me hope. I've only been doing it 32 years now, so not quite as long. And that's my goal, is not only that I get to, but the people behind me get to, and that we can make it a profession that we can call. We can someday hang up our hat, hang up our boots, hang up our shirt for the last time, and go, we're done.
I'm just glad that I was given the opportunity to share my knowledge and to share my experiences with the people coming behind me, and I'm hoping that people will see that I did always advocate for the patient and advocate for the profession. And the greatest reward that I've had in this profession was being able to serve as the president of the NAEMT, make a difference I felt in the profession, and also to be able to help people in the city of New Orleans. I feel like I've done my part to maintain our mission of providing the best pre-hospital care to the residents and the visitors of New Orleans.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. Happy retirement.
Thank you very much.
And I'm Chris Montero for the EMS Garage / EMS World podcast here from EMS World Expo 2018 in Nashville. Congratulations. That's so awesome. You can find more great content right here on this great channel.